We had our prayer time. We actually started going through this psalm, and we looked at the first opening four verses. But let's just read through it. Psalm chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. It says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are my shield about me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of the many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all the enemies on their cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Salah. You know, this is an amazing psalm, and one of the reasons why it's so amazing is because the circumstances are so different. You know, none of us, again, happen to be kings here. None of us have thousands of people that are rising up against us, wanting our lives. But the reason, again, why we can enter in on this psalm, and this psalm can be an encouragement, is because we do live in this fallen world where people betray us, where things go wrong, and many times desperately wrong, that we never thought would come into our lives. And we know the circumstances that surround this psalm, because in Psalm chapter 3, the title of it is the Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And we realize that that's inscripturated. That's part of this, the Holy Spirit's work in giving us the Word of God. So Absalom, who happens to be the son of David, has turned the heart of the people against David to rebel against him. And the rebellion is so great that David is forced to flee in ridicule and humiliation, his capital of Jerusalem. And as he makes his way, again, really into hiding, he's met with rebuke and ridicule, especially from his enemies. An example of that happens to be in 2 Samuel chapter 16, and verse number 7, where we read, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. And these are the words of Shimei. And it seems like a lot of times when we're going through difficulties in our life, when we're really down, it seems that many times people can kick us. You know, and I think a lot of us can relate with living in this fallen world and the words, again, of David in the opening two verses. This is the first stanza. He says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. And it's amazing to look at that, because he says, Selah, or think on these words, think on the significance of them. You know, and it's basically this, there's no rescue from God, there's no deliverance coming your way. You know, because of your circumstances, because of the way that you've lived, because of the way that you function, there's no help coming to you from God. You know, and I think a lot of times in our lives, we actually believe that message. We actually believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there is no deliverance from God. There's no deliverance from my pain. There's no deliverance from the turmoil that I happen to be going through. I know I've talked to many pastors who have gone through things in their congregation where a certain aspect of their congregation have risen up against them. You know, I can remember one gentleman was going through a severe sickness with his wife, and I can remember confiding in me that what he was going through in his church was even more heart-wrenching. You know, and it just seemed like the darkness would not lift, the pain would not lift. I know, again, a lot of you parents even here this afternoon are going through, again, children that have walked away from the Lord and have even ridiculed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it brings, again, so much heaviness, anguish, and it seems, again, like a lot of times the pain will not lift. A lot of people live with marriages many times where one spouse is arguing with the other spouse or against the other spouse. And we realize, again, marriage is for life. And many times it seems like this anguish will never lift, this heaviness, this pain that we go through. Again, there is no deliverance. There is none. And that's one of the reasons why we love the book of Psalms, is because they describe our circumstances so accurately. And many times, again, they give a voice to an anguish. We don't know how to cry out. We don't know how many times we're in this anguish and this heaviness, how to cry out to a God. And this is where Psalms really teaches us. You know, and a lot of us can relate to what David is saying right here. But the amazing thing, you know, and we're really good at relaying this on this level. What we're not good, again, is relaying the truth on this level. And this is where this is a prayer. This is a praise to God. This is a prayer, again, requesting God's help. You know, and David doesn't stay, again, in that heaviness, again, of circumstances that happen to be around him. But he's reminded of who's with him in the midst of the storm. And look at what he goes on and says in verses 3 and 4. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and a lifter up of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and this is what the Lord did. And he answered me from his holy hill, Selah. In other words, meditate upon these truths. You know, and I love the way that David describes his relationship. He knows, again, the Lord is his Lord. He knows, again, that he's in a personal relationship with this God. You know, and he says, this Lord, because he's in a personal relationship with his God, is a shield about him. And I love that terminology because it's so picturesque. A shield, again, is a defensive mechanism, isn't it? They put it out, again, all of a sudden that no harm would come their way. And who is the Lord? He's a shield all the way about me. Even though I have these many foes, even though I have these many enemies, he's a shield about me. So much so that I realize this sovereign lover of my soul will only let into my life the trials and the anguish that he has ordained. And because I know this Lord, because I know who he is, I also realize that he can be trusted. I can trust this God. I can walk with all the difficulties and all the trials in my life before this great God. That's why he says he's a lifter up of my head. You know, he is my glory. I live for him in the midst of that. And let me say that all of us live in a fallen world. I think a lot of times we think of all the trials that happen to be again in our life that they seem to be so encompassing upon us ourselves. But as we look around us, it's the same with all believers. You know, and trials have a capacity to change us. You know, the difficulties of life, living in this fallen world, have a capacity of changing us. And they'll change us in one of two ways. One way is we're just looking at the horizontal. And as we look at the horizontal that happens to be around us, we're overwhelmed with fear, we're overwhelmed with worry, we're overwhelmed with anguish of soul. You know, and we feel that anguish, we feel that heaviness that happens to be again around us. Or the other, again, is really to trust the Lord. And one of the ways that we know that we are trusting the Lord is when we come to Him in prayer. We describe our circumstances, but we also call out to Him because we know who He is. You know, and I guess my question as we go to prayer this afternoon is basically to ask, where's your confidence? Where's your trust? You know, your confidence and trust, again, if you're a worrier, and I mean, again, huge, again, in your worrier, your confidence and trust is probably in yourself. And what you need to do is focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on this great God. And I just want us to take a few gleanings from verses 5 and 6 right here. And I want us to see David's glory, David's confident sleep in light of the glorious God. And look at what he says in verses 5 and 6, because these verses are absolutely amazing. He says, I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around me. And this is really, I don't think we enter in many times because we're in such a rush many times to read and get through, that many times we don't stop and just read and think again, what are the circumstances in which this is written of? You know, and that's what makes these verses so amazing. Because there are thousands of people that are set against David, hunting him, wanting his life. You know, many of his family have been defamed, soiled, and he himself, his own son, his own flesh and blood that he truly loves has turned against him. You know, and why do we say all of these things? Well, because David says, you know, I lay down and slept. And think of it, because one of the things that keep us up at night are the problems and difficulties of living in a fallen world and living with fallen relationships. And we all realize that, right? You know, and it's so easy, especially when you've had a bad day, but many times even on good days, to lay down on our pillow and start rehearsing the things, start rehearsing the events, start rehearsing the anguish, and we replay it over and over and over again. Sometimes we even think different scenarios. What if I would have said this? Or what if she would have said that? And we replay them over and over and over and over in our mind. You know, and right here again in this passage of Scripture, we see David's confidence. David's confidence in this great God. You know, and these are by far the most popular verses that happen to be again in the Psalm. You know, many people who have gone through anguish, many people who have gone through, again, heavy times in their life, many times have memorized these verses. And it says, and he says in verse number 5, I lay down and slept, I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. And those are wonderful verses of confidence in God, confidence in who He is. And I don't think a lot of times we realize how dangerous it is to go to sleep in a fallen world. Have you ever thought about all the things that could happen in any given night? You know, a lot of times we lay down and sleep, and the reason why we lay down and sleep is because there's no problems in our life. You know, and other times there's a whole bunch of problems. We realize, again, how dangerous this world is. You know, how dangerous it has been this day and how dangerous it's going to be tomorrow. But really, when you think about sleep and what it is, it's an act of trust, isn't it? It's saying when I lay down and sleep, if I wake up in the morning, the reason why I'm going to wake up in the morning is because God has sustained me. You know, the reason why I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to be able to face the day after a good night's sleep is because God is the one who sustained me the day before. So when you look at David and all his trials that he had, again, this previous day, and all the anguish and all the heartache, God had seen him through. And that same God had seen him through, will see him through that night. He can sleep. And that's what sleep is. It's a gift of God. It's confidence in our great God, but it's also a gift. And as he wakes up the next morning, the reason why he woke is because the Lord has sustained him. And that same God is going to be with him no matter how many trials, no matter how many difficulties that day again happens to be. And that confidence in who God is as a sovereign lover of our soul, who's in control of all things and works out all things after the counsel of his good will, is the reason why, even in this living, in this fallen world, even with all the difficulties and problems and heartaches, why we can sleep. Now, there's another possibility, right? We have this confident trust that happens to be right there. Or the other way that we can respond is worry. And think about it, because when you think about worry, and we're all, again, guilty of worriers, we're all, again, easily describe things that are going on here rather than inscribe, again, who God is and be reminded of who God is, where we're all easily taken over and worry. And think about worry. Think about the anxiety of the things that are going on in your life and ask yourself, how much time have I been given over to worry? How much time have I given over to thinking about these things and worrying about these things and fretting about these things? And think about this. How much has changed because I've worried and fretted about all these things? And the answer is what? Nothing. Nothing. There's no circumstance that has changed in my life. You know, there's nothing. In fact, my circumstances many times even seem bigger the more I think about them and the more I worry about them. So here's the question. Why do we worry? You know, and worry, when it really gets down to it, and we hate to say it because it really hurts, worry is just unbelief in who God is, isn't it? It really is unbelief. I believe one of two things before God, and we might not rationally think about this, but this is why we're so concerned. This is why we're so concerned. Either God is not sovereign, he's not in control of this situation. You know, he hasn't ordained this situation for my good or in his glory. Or God is not all good. And this is why he has this thing in my life. This is why he's allowed this to come into my life. Why? Because God is not all good. You know, and it's one of those two things. What David realizes in the midst of anguish, and let me tell you, this is real. You know, this is really going on in him. What David realizes is who his God is, and he's able. I mean, think of all of these circumstances that happen to be in his life, all this pressure, all this betrayal that's going on, and he's able to go to sleep at night. He's able to confidently trust and accept this great gift that's given to him by this holy God that happens to be above. You know, and it's an amazing thing to look at. And look at how deep and abiding his confidence is in God. Because it seems to grow the more he prays to this great God, and the more he's reminded of this great God. He says, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. You know, and we look at this and we're famous for hyperbole, right? You know, if all of a sudden I bang my big toe, you know, and I'm screaming like the world's about to end, right? Right? And we've all been there. We're all given to hyperbole to express our pain, to express our anguish. What David says here is not hyperbole. When he says thousands are gathered against me all around me, they really are. You know, there's thousands of people going through the countryside, going through the valleys, going through the hills, into caves, looking for David for one quest, and this is to find him and to kill him. You know, this is why they're around him. And David just doesn't have one enemy or two enemies to worry about, but he has these thousands of enemies that happen to be all around him that are looking for him at this time. And that's the amazing thing about trials, right? We look at trials and we many times say this, and we're all guilty of this. Here it is. Things can't get what? Any worse, right? Right? And what happens? What happens? We all know, right? They get worse, but not only do their problem that we have get worse, but also other things start happening, right? So you might be in a tough marriage or going through a tough spot even in your marriage. But all of a sudden there's problems with the children. One of the children again seem to be rebelling. You know, you go off to work and there's difficulties that happen to be again at work, and there's politics that happen to be at work, and you're carrying that huge burden that happens to be again at work. There's extended family problems, and there might be even problems in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ with various different relationships that you have in there. And it just seems to pile on. It just seems to pile on. It just seems to pile on. And it can be, and we can feel that burden. We can feel that precious. But here's what David said. David says, I will not be afraid. You know, and it almost seems like when you read those words, a little male bravado. You know, look at me. You know, even though I'm in all this, I'm not going to be afraid. And there's no male bravado. Because David is not greater than thousands. Thousands are greater than David. Right? And David knows that. This is not bravado. But he realizes who God is. And his confidence is not in his strength. His confidence is not in his wisdom. His confidence is not in his ability, but in his God that happens to be above. And this is what he knows. His God is greater than thousands. You know, his God really is. And this is the God that he is in personal relationship with. This is the God he's praying to, again, at this time. You know, I love, again, what Psalm 118 in verses 6 and 8 says. It says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear, right? Right? There it is. I will not be afraid. And this is what he says. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. And listen to what he says next. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. You know, think of what worry, think of what anxiety is, think what fretting is. It's trusting in man. It's trusting in self. And this is what David says. I'm not going to trust in man. I'm going to trust in my Lord. This is the confidence. This is who he has. You know, and this is as much as a mental play as anything else. We think about these situations. We think about these situations. We think about these situations when we are on our pillow. When we happen to be in there, we toss and turn. And what we need to do is take our thoughts and say, well, what do I know about the Lord? What do I know about God? What do I know about this God who has entered into a personal and eternal relationship to me, the Lord Jesus Christ? What do I know about His sovereignty? What do I know about His goodness? And pray that back to God. It is incredible how these truths again change us. The question is, again, how will they change us? How will the circumstances, again, of life change us? You know, there's a wonderful promise that's given to us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. And what is it? Anyone know it? Casting all your what? Casting all your cares, all your anxieties upon you because He cares for you. This is our great God. This is who He is. This is what prayer is meant to be, us casting our cares on this great God. So we're going to take that. We're going to take what Psalm chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, and we're going to put it in action this afternoon. We're going to pray, again, recognizing who our God is. And just before we break up in our groups, I'm going to ask Abe Unger to come up, and he's going to lead us in a word of prayer. Abe.